We're talking about Microsoft products today, and Jerry Carlson and Jeff Garnay are with us in studio. But along with those products, the get-your-hands-on kind of products, we're also going to be talking with Don Morrison, who is somebody from Microsoft who is involved in their anti-piracy program. And Don, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. We've got some of your colleagues here in studio, along with a number of our other folks here. Don, first of all, what is the notion of anti-piracy program? What is it you're trying to stop happening, just to be clear for folks?
Sure, absolutely. Well, contrary to the image of Captain Phillips in the Straits of Hormuz, this is actually a digital piracy. And there is organized crime involved, and there are cybersecurity issues involved. And basically what it is it's two forms. It's the illegal duplication of the actual software itself, or it's the acquiring of unlicensed software at a diminished or no price.
Okay, so it's the one part of it is the duplication part, and I think for most of the people who are listening right now, that's not going to be an issue for most of them.
That's less of an issue.
That's less of an issue. But the use of unlicensed, how does that affect, impact the day-to-day user of computers?
Well, you know, the risk is primarily twofold. It's, first, it's how they acquire it through downloads. And what we're seeing is that if they go out and acquire it through an illegal website, 78% of peer-to-peer networks download tracking software, spyware, or even malware. So it's a big risk if they acquire it that way.
Okay.
Second of all, the risk is that the acquisition of the software itself, it is not the experience that they're going to get from the vendor, whether it be Microsoft or another vendor, that they desire and anticipate. And there may not be a lot of security features involved either.
Don, you've also, how do you deal with, maybe my colleagues here can count in, kind of chime in on this. I mean, we're of a generation where we understand the idea of you buy something, it has value. But I'm seeing more and more in some of the younger people that I talk to that the sense is, hey, if it's on the internet, it's got to be free. Why do I have to pay for it? It's out there. Just grab it and use it.
Sure.
I mean, there's this, in other words, there's a generational problem as well.
I think it spans generations. Certainly that is a perception out there that, my daughters have as well. And, after I have talked with them, they understand the issues. But I think there's a lot of folks who are just looking for good deals that are older as well. I would say it spans generations. I don't know what my colleagues in studio have to say.
See if you can muster some support here, Jerry.
Yay, I support you. Now, what's interesting? It's not just technology and everything. Like, my daughter is 21 years old now, and, something about movies. They're passing around movies, and I'm telling her, I said, if you were the artist that created that thing, wouldn't you want to get paid? And, she absolutely said yes, but naively, people just giving them to her. She didn't know she had to buy them. It's a generational thing.
I almost find it kind of, it's almost like they're scoffing at people who buy things, for full price or something like that, which I find that a little unnerving.
Okay, hey, Don, if I could ask you a question. I know organized crime and I understand why they do what they do, but when you talk to people that, just download it, and they're not necessarily kids and stuff like that, the driving force is always economics, or what is the reason behind them, like, downloading it and then passing it on to other people?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. It used to be hacking. The old adage was hacking for fun and profit. The fun is gone, and it's all about profit these days. Very seldom do you have an exploit that's done on the internet where someone just goes out and says, this is what I did. And it's mostly now done for a profit. And mostly the folks that have the sophistication to be able to deal with that and to neutralize some of the very sophisticated security mechanisms a lot of enterprises have are going to be organized crime.
So now that the old ways of passing software around when you're piracying with floppy disks and CDs and stuff like that are pretty much gone to the wayside, how do they handle collecting the funds from these people legitimately, but yet funneling them through the process? So do they put up bogus websites that look like Microsoft or Adobe or any other software companies? How does that process all pan out nowadays?
Well, it's interesting. It's a variety of ways. A very popular exploit right now is something called ransomware.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, what we'll do, they'll download fraudulent software that will have malware in it. And that malware, whether they've done something they shouldn't have or not, may contain ransomware that will lock up the hard drive and the files and access to them. And on the screen will come an image from the FBI in the U.S.'s case, from, you know, other mm-hmm. law enforcement in other countries. And they will demand that you send $40 or so, a small amount,
right.
Via PayPal or some other method to them, and then they'll release your files. Well, what usually happens is they don't release your
right.
files, and you're stuck with a worthless PC. Now, it's interesting. The reason they say they pick $40 is because that's really kind of below the FBI's threshold of interest.
But it's boy, we've had listeners who've gotten caught on this and gotten caught badly on it. I want to ask a question. It's a little bit of an awkward question, but I mean, I'm seeing a trend in Microsoft. Tell me if I'm right in seeing this trend. Office used to cost an awful lot of money, $200-$300 to get the whole shoot and match. And I'm seeing now, for instance, that Microsoft is moving to the subscription basis, which is,
yes.
to my mind, making it much more attractive. You know, $5 a month or $10 a month, I can handle. Even though after X number of years, I may have paid the same amount of money, but I'm getting all new software all the time when I do that. Is Microsoft in some ways moving to that in order to beat the problem of the piracy that goes on? Is that one of the ways of combating it?
No, that certainly is a great benefit of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the number one reason that Microsoft is doing anything is to provide the best computing experience possible for our customers, whether they be the consumers or enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that cloud-based solutions on a variety of platforms, even non-Microsoft platforms these days, is the best way to deliver that experience for Office.
And
I don't know, just my guess.
It's also a way. Excuse me. It's also a way of combating that problem. I would imagine, Jerry. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you look.
That's
at,
interesting. Yeah, it is. It is yeah. absolutely.
If you look at our new leader, love the guy.
Satya Nadella. Yeah.
His mantra is. What? Cloud first, mobile first.
Yeah.
That is the direction of our company. And that we've been building that for the 14 years I've been here.
Yeah.
So if you look at that, whether it has effect on piracy or not, it's the way the world is moved.
It's kind of a neat thing that it's almost a secondary
Absolutely.
Effect of that will
Absolutely.
Be it's going to put a real crink into the whole piracy business, I would imagine.
Don, is most of the piracy for profit being done offshore? I mean, back in the old days when Napster was around, you hear about some kid who got, you know, the record industry went to his house and they fined him, you know, $10,000 or his parents, that sort of thing. You don't hear those stories too much anymore. Is most of that being done offshore with the piracy?
Yeah, the predominant piracy is done by drug cartels in Mexico or Latin
yeah.
America, Eastern European gangs, Russian gangs. You'll see a lot of piracy coming from there, but you still see a lot of exploits hosted here locally. The Digital Crimes Unit at Microsoft, tracks these down to the actual zip codes, and there are areas in the U.S. that are hotbeds. So the U.S. is still hosting a lot of the piracy, and it's a problem.
And the problem seems to be there, as with the drug war. It's almost like the drug war wouldn't exist if we weren't the consumers. That's the problem. We're consuming it. We're consuming all that bogus and pirated software.
Now, here's one other crazy question. Is it piracy if someone sells someone a copy of Windows 95? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Because it is copyrighted software, but... It's so far out of date nowadays. Yeah. I was just
even
wondering.
Windows 95 is a great product in its day, but I don't know who'd pay for it right now. it's all a question of the end user license agreement that they have, and how many installs they have left. We aren't supporting that product sure. right now, but let's say it was Windows 7, and they had. A certain type of license agreement that allowed 3 installs, and they sold it to a friend of theirs, and that was the 4th install. Well, if that friend could try to activate that software, they get a non-genuine message off of it.
Mm.
So,
okay.
You have to be careful even with that.
There was an interesting article that came up on CNET, and darned if I can't find the thing right now, but it was a problem with somebody who has a legitimate install of Windows 7 Home Premium. And had been using it for 3 years, and suddenly the machine was coughing up this notice that says, this isn't genuine anymore. And I'm sure there are other people who are listening who have had this happen. How do you, in that case, establish, yes, I have a real one. I have it right here in my hand. How do you establish it, even if the machine is spitting back at you and saying, no, it's not real, you can't use this anymore?
Yeah, call Microsoft support immediately, and they'll be able to do some research for you. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're going to want to deliver the best experience possible. So they'll look at the history, and they'll be able to talk with you about, you know, how you've been using that software. And, you know, they'll make every effort to resolve it.
Yeah, to make sure that you had a legitimate copy to start with. Don Morrison, yeah. Thank you so much for being with us. Folks, we'll post on our homepage more so you can follow up on this as well.